In the first of the long lessons, which almost did me in this year, it seems, in the first of the long lessons for Holy Saturday, we read in Genesis how on the seventh day, the Sabbath, the day of rest, Almighty God looked at all that he had created and saw that it was good. Today, on this mystical Sabbath, which is no day of rest, but rather of high and of supernatural work, we can too look at all that God has done all around us. Sometimes, to understand grace, we need to give a good look towards nature. And so, this morning, I noticed just before I scurried over here for the last-minute preparations for our vigil, two deer on the lawn, and they were looking not, as the choir sang as we went to the font, for a fountain of water. They were probably hungry for a little breakfast and had their eye on some spring bulbs or something like that, or some tender bark on a tree. But just as they were up early and looking and hungry, so too must you be, Aaron. We congratulate you on your baptism and the first Holy Communion you will make today, hungry for the Catholic faith and satisfied now at the font of eternal life, Holy Mother Church. We all went outdoors, and I couldn't help but think, as we stood all around that very attractive and warmly glowing fire there in the early morning, and we're just starting to get cold, of that other fire on Holy Thursday night where Peter met his downfall, and how we each have something to think about there at that fire, don't we? That is to say that some of us, like Peter, have denied our Lord, and others of us, like the maid, were troublemakers and issued accusations and caused grief and occasioned even serious sin. What a relief it is that we can go inside the church and do something for our Lord, all of us, and that Joseph of Arimathea, like, boldly, boldly. Have you noticed in Holy Week the end, the uniform end of the Passion for all 4 days when it is read or sung gives us, for a gospel, the story of those two interesting characters who are members of the High Jewish Council, the Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea, and St. John puts in to Nicodemus, who came to Christ first at night because he was afraid of his fellow Jews, and he did his business with our Lord in the cloak of darkness. Joseph of Arimathea goes to Pilate, but it's only St. Mark who gives us the adverb that tells the story. And it could be our Easter story of faith and of resurrection as well. Mark says he went in boldly. And it would be a bold thing to do, wouldn't it? That is to say, here he, a member of the Sanhedrin, which had condemned our Lord just the night before to death, that he should go in to the recognized representative of the Roman Imperium, the governor, Pontius Pilate, and ask for the body of this condemned traitor. And yet so he did, in he go. And then John adds that when it was all over, and it was towards evening on Good Friday, it was Nicodemus this time who buys the myrrh and the sweet spices, that after they have removed our Lord's body from the cross, he might anoint him for his burial. But now, a new figure takes her place of honor for us. We've already had her gospel many times this Lent and Holy Week. And now she it is who leads us into the joys of Easter, and she is, of course, Mary Magdalene, the woman who was in the city of sinner. And St. Mark says, out of her, our Lord had driven seven devils. Then to show her gratitude and to show her sorrow for sins, she too goes in boldly. Aaron, you went in boldly into the Catholic Church. You weren't ashamed, and you weren't embarrassed, and you weren't worrying too much what others thought. God love you. Mary Magdalene was the first to do that. Imagine what the others thought. They knew her past. They knew her sins. Her reputation was everywhere. She goes right into the place where she's least wanted, the home of a high leading Pharisee, Simon the leper. And there she goes right to our Lord, because he's the man who can do something for her, who has already, the Son of Man, done so much for her. And she plunks herself down at his feet and washes them with her tears. You remember the tale. And then dries them with her hair and anoints them with this precious ointment. She goes in boldly, not so much to confess her sins, everybody knows them, but to show her contrition and to show her gratitude for having been forgiven, for having been saved. Compare these bold characters, because we, all of us, must be bold in the profession of our faith. Here you have men from the highest stratum of Jewish society, the members of the Sanhedrin, wealthy men. Joseph, a nobilis de curio, a noble counselor, and then Nicodemus, too, who was so worried for his good name and reputation that he could only seek Christ out by night. The very highest. And then the very lowest. Mary Magdalene, she was less than dirt at your feet. What's she doing here? She doesn't belong here. She's not one of us. She's dirty. She's a sinner. But the both of them, moved by God's actual grace as you were, Aaron, came in boldly to do their business and to carry out their work. So must we, without any false shame, without any caviling hesitation, worry about what others might say, what others might think. It matters not. We've got to buy the spices and come and anoint our Lord. Now, there are two great ways, the authors say, for us to do our Joseph of Arimathea Nicodemus, our Mary Magdalene work. And the one is directly at the person of our Lord. We've been doing that all week, and really in church all year long, haven't we? That is to say, every service that we render to our Lord in the sacrament of his love, every ceremony and detail that surrounds the august sacrifice of the altar and the seven sacraments of the new law, so that everything will be, you ladies and men and workers know, so that everything would be just perfect for Christ. That's the work of Mary Magdalene. Who are you, you might say, to be in the sanctuary of our Lord? You don't let it bother you. You go in boldly. You're a man on a mission. You have a job to do. Your faith inspires you to do it. But then, that is not all. There still are our Lord's feet to be washed, and his feet and his head to be anointed in the person of his poor. That is to say, all of those poor souls who are wandering around today without a clue, without any sense of what it is about, why we are here on this earth, to save our immortal souls. What we possess, what treasure we have in the tabernacle, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, made man in our midst. But if there is boldness, in a certain business-like sense, as we have gone about and will continue now our duty and our work on this mystic Sabbath that holds no rest for us, but only the promise of rest in paradise. Remember what fuels it all. Remember what, as it were, sent the deer foraging, what makes the fire to burn so attractively and warmly, and what made Mary Magdalene so bold when she had no business being there. It was love. It was love. The love for our Lord. If we didn't love our Lord, none of this would make any sense at all. But because we do love our Lord, there's a holy boldness within us. You see that time and again in the life of little Teresa, Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, we've been honoring this past Lent. She's not afraid of what people are going to say or do. She's got love in her heart. She doesn't mind going to see the Pope himself in Rome to get a special permission to become a nun as a teenage girl at the age of 15. Why should she hesitate? She saw him, she knew him to be, as a true Pope is, the father of all Christians and her father in Christ. Of course she's bold. She's not going into an enemy power, as you would be if you went to Rome and to the Vatican today. She was going to her father. And that's that same sense that brought Aaron here, the same sense that brings countless converts over the years to St. Gertrude the Great, and that brings poor sinners to the silence, the Nicodemus darkness of the confessional, that brings all of us here to do all sorts of different and wonderful things. It is that sense of love that pushes us. And when you first look, it almost seems as though we are being bold. And so we are. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.